Our final position preview. We're talking tight ends on Fantasy Football today. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard. It is Tuesday, August 12th. We will soon be podcasting in the morning. I don't know if that's going to be starting tomorrow or starting next week or something, but it's going to happen soon, so be excited. And good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon, Adam.
Good afternoon, Mr. Azer.
Yesterday we did an auction. We did a live auction. It was cool. The results are available on CBSSports.com. Today we're going to do a PPR mock draft. Tomorrow we're going to talk about both formats, PPR and auction. Email us fantasyfootball@cbsi.com and watch our video show live noon Eastern Tuesdays and Wednesdays right now during the season. It will be Tuesday through Friday and then Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern time to help you set your lineup. A quick injury news and notes update before we get into the tight ends. Marshawn Lynch under investigation for an alleged assault.
Yeah, the Seahawks are calling it, and I quote from a statement, bogus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they used the word bogus in a statement. I thought that was neat.
I hope that is the case. Cincinnati wide receiver Marvin Jones had a pin put in his left foot. That is totally legit. And he will miss a few weeks at least. What's the latest on Jones, and what about drafting him?
One report said 4 weeks. One report said 6 to 8 weeks. So I'm sure once the healing of the surgery is done, they'll know a better timetable. I would say in a 14-round draft, you're not drafting Marvin Jones. 15 or more, not a bad late-round flyer, depending on who you're comparing him to.
They have a bye in week 4. Wouldn't be surprising if he was out until after the bye.
DeSean Jackson says he'll play in the upcoming preseason game. Toby Gerhardt's going to get some snaps too. And the Texans released running backs Andre Brown and Dennis Johnson. They signed Ronnie Brown and William Powell. Thoughts on that group now?
It's going to be ugly if Arian Foster misses time.
Yeah. Jonathan Grimes. Yeah. I was told to keep an eye out for Jonathan Grimes.
All right.
At the time, I thought it was bogus, but now I see why.
Sorry, we're all business here, but I think let's just get right to it. Let's get into the tight end, shall we? Tight ends preview begins with tweet of the day number one from Michael Waterloo. Should you approach tight ends like quarterback? If I can't get one of the top ones, just wait for an Ebron, Green, Gates, Heath Miller type.
I don't think you even have to wait that long. You certainly want to get a tight end at a good value if you can't get one of the difference makers. And that's one of the top three tight ends: Jimmy Graham, Rob Gronkowski, Julius Thomas. There isn't a fourth. There's only three guys in that top tier. And so if you miss on one of those
three.
You're
done with Vernon?
Oh, yeah. I don't think Vernon was ever in that top tier for me.
You had four. Did I? You were taking Vernon Davis in round four.
Okay, well, I'm glad I'm not anymore. I think he's a fifth-round guy, which
all right.
I think a lot of people might say is okay, or maybe they'll say that's just, you know, too rich for my blood, and they can wait, and they should wait. I'm finding myself targeting a certain tight end in the middle of a draft routinely.
Who is that?
That would be Zach Ertz. I would mention that when we get to talking about Zach. But, round 9 or so, I like getting him. I bid $5 on him on the auction yesterday because I knew no one else would go 6.
Jamie, what's your strategy with tight ends?
Well, I mean, the guy I typically wait for is Pitta. You know, he's going in that round 7 range. So I see a huge season coming for him. Wrote a prediction piece, which should be up on the site probably by the end of the week, that just doing some more digging, some of the secondary numbers, nothing really that we talk about from a fantasy perspective, but they were 31st in red zone production last year without Pitta, who scored 10 red zone touchdowns from 2011 to 2012, which...
Does that include playoff games?
No. He scored 7 touchdowns in 2012 and 3 touchdowns in 2011. Mm-hmm. So the closest on the team over that span was 7. They were 20th in third down conversion percentage. And Pitta had more third down, had tied for Ray Rice with the most third down conversions over that same 2-year span. 3 tight ends did better than that: Jimmy Graham, Greg Olsen, and Jason Witten. So they need him. Joe Flacco needs him. And then I look at the history of Gary Kubiak. So I agree with Dave. Zach Ertz is a great guy, a round or two later than that group of the Pitta, Cameron, Witten tier, Davis tier. I would put in the Ertz category, which is other guys I wait for, Olsen and Kyle Rudolph, because I think Kyle Rudolph is going to benefit a lot, obviously, with the addition of North Turner.
Yeah, okay, tweet of the day number two from Kurt Heck. Kim Kardashian or Cade Upton, hashtag tight ends?
Ha. I'll take Upton.
Me too.
Yeah, I'll go Upton. Just a little younger.
Listen, I see the potential in Kardashian.
I will take Kim Kardashian's bank account.
Yeah,
I would have no problem with Kate Upton's bank account.
You can have Kardashian. I'll take Upton. I'll be fine with that. Fill in the blank. Jimmy Graham should go blank overall.
7.
What he said.
PPR?
6.
Mm-hmm.
Ahead of who? Lacey?
Yes.
Yes.
If every tight end plays 16 games, blank will finish as the number one tight end.
Rob Gronkowski.
I'll still say Jimmy Graham.
Adam, break the tie.
Kane
versus your brain.
Gronk.
Okay.
Gronk. Why? I'm just thinking they upgraded their receiving with Brandon Cooks this year. Colston healthier. Maybe a couple touchdowns taken away from Jimmy Graham.
One fantasy point better for Rob Gronkowski. That's how good they
But of course, we take Graham ahead of Gronk just because he's been much more healthy and he is safer than Gronkowski. Right?
Yes.
Safe to say?
It is safe to say he's safe.
I always find myself drafting blank. I know you answered it, but just to do it again, I always find myself drafting blank.
Zerts.
Pita Peta.
My favorite sleeper tight end is blank.
Heath Miller.
Ladarius Green.
Is he really a sleeper anymore?
I think he is.
After the way he played last year and everybody was all over him?
Yeah. I think so. Well,
I think he is based on his ADP. Right.
His ADP is low because of Gates.
Well, that's why he's 100% a sleeper because of that.
Okay. Because.
Do I still say it weird?
Yeah.
Just
like I still say pitcher.
Making a conscious effort not to.
I'm trying to do that with pitcher, and I still can't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that is a terrible effort because, yeah, you're not even close.
Shut up.
Well, look, in your mind, in the fantasy analyst's mind, yeah, he might not be a sleeper. But for me, before Dave was all about him on the – before you guys – I don't want to just say Dave, but before you guys talked about him after the last preseason game last weekend – I wouldn't have even thought about drafting him, really. I don't know. There are a lot of tight ends that are in the same boat, and I just feel like he's – because he's not even the starter.
Well, we're going to get into our auction tomorrow. We're going to review both drafts tomorrow.
We're going to set out to.
Okay. Scott White took Charles Clay as his tight end, or maybe his second tight end. I don't know. He likes to draft a lot of backups. and I think – oh, I know what it was. He was going head-to-head with Herc on Ladarius Green.
Yeah.
And bid Herc up to $5 on Green. And he said Heath Miller was not bought. And he said he likes Charles Clay better. And we had this conversation. I don't know how you view it, Dave. To me, there are 10 tight ends that I think are must draft guys. And then it's a handful of we'll see what happens. Because Heath Miller, Ladarius Green, Gates, Martellus Bennett, Clay. Maybe Delanie Walker. You know, somebody's going to have a personal preference on one of those guys.
Yeah. Well, Ladarius Green, does he need a Gates injury? I'm looking at his game log here. He was barely targeted. He had 3 games with more than 3 targets. Most games he had 1 or none. In all 3 of those games, though, 8 fantasy points, 14 fantasy points, 10 fantasy points. So on a per-target basis, he may have been the best tight end in fantasy last year.
He was great.
That's why he wasn't really on my radar. I am now seeing that he should be. 22.1 yards per catch. He's obviously a good athlete. Do you guys want to expand on what you expect from those two guys, Gates and Green?
Well, the thing that I like best about drafting Green is that it's going to be a late-round pick. So if you draft him and it ends up being Gates, maybe Gates is on the waiver wire. You just do a little waiver wire switcheroo between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, then you could still... There's still plenty of time to find another tight end, even if it's Delanie Walker, Martellus Bennett, Charles Clay, maybe even Heath Miller's out there on the waiver wire, and you dump Green for him if he starts the season off slowly. But I look at that offense, and I saw Green play. Obviously, he played a lot in the first preseason game. Gates didn't play. But it's not like their receiving core is strong in San Diego. Like, they've got Keenan Allen, and they've got...
Dontrell Inman.
They've got Dontrell Inman. Yes, thank you for that. Malcolm Floyd is going to be a big part of what they do. Eddie Royal is going to be their slot guy. But I think they're going to go and eventually see Green is a much better threat than Eddie Royal. And they'll find ways to get him and Gates on the field at the same time.
All right, makes
and
sense.
And that will cause so many problems for all the defenses they play.
I do think your question, though, does he need a Gates injury to be a must-start guy? Yes. Otherwise,
which isn't out of the question.
Otherwise, you're taking a flyer on him.
Sure.
But I think he could be very good.
Okay, my favorite breakout tight end is blank.
Ertz.
I'll say Rudolph takes the next big step.
Does Ertz need a Celek injury to be great?
Maybe to be great, but not to be starting.
Okay.
Think about what it takes to be a good starting fantasy tight end. 7 fantasy points or more per week. That's
Blank
good.
Will be a bust.
Davis.
Ebron.
Vernon Davis, Eric Ebron. Why and why? Jamie.
I can't say enough that the touchdown number for him a year ago. You know, you just look at the rest of his numbers. 13 touchdowns last year. His numbers have been pretty consistent for basically the last 3 or 4 years. You know, he's right around 50 to 60 catches. He's right around, you know, 700 to 800 yards. But he took a huge spike in touchdowns last year to 13. You take his average of the three previous years, he averaged 6 touchdowns over that 3-year span. So if you give him his average, he drops down from the 4th tight end to like the 7th or 8th.
6th.
I thought it was 7.
Well, okay. What's his average?
Six touchdowns.
Then you're probably right. I gave him 7 touchdowns. I said you take away 6 touchdowns.
Okay.
Yeah, he's number 6. So, okay, you take away an extra one, he's 7th.
Right. So at the time when I wrote my second bust column where I had Davis in there, he was being drafted in the middle of the 4th round. Now, I don't know how much influence that piece of content did with Vernon Davis, or people just like some other tight ends better, but his average draft position has dropped a few spots since then.
Yeah,
so
50th now.
Right. I just look at it. I don't necessarily look at average draft position all the time when I'm judging these guys, especially at the quarterback and tight end position. I look at the ranking of the average draft position, and the fact that he's still sitting at 4, I just don't like it.
Is it so crazy if he's 4 if he's closer to Witten and Cameron and Pitta?
No, not at all. That's where average draft position, I think, factors in, which like I said, if he's going closer to round 5, the bust potential is not as high for me. And certainly if you can get him later, round 6, round 7, I don't think that'll happen because people gravitate toward the name. But I also think that once we get into a lot of our paid leagues, his average draft position may creep up a little bit because you're going to hear us on podcasts and things like this and on our shows and in the things that we write, Dave's tier column, I'm doing a tight end strategy piece myself, where getting a tight end is vital. And if you just have that in the back of your head and you say, wow, Vernon Davis scored 13 touchdowns last year and he had 2 unbelievably monstrous years in the course of, you know, the last 6 or 7. You might buy into that.
Dave still has him 4th. You have him 6th. I think the point we're trying to make is there shouldn't be as much separation between Vernon Davis and the Witten Pitta group as there is now in ADP. Mm-hmm. You have him 4th, fine, but he's closer to the rest of the pack.
I don't mind him with a late round 5 pick.
And Dave, your bust was?
I said Eric Ebron, but I also listed Jordan Reed as one of my busts.
Oh, yeah, that pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because I took him in the auction yesterday, and is it just the injury for you?
It's mainly the fact that if he gets a hit to the head, it could mean a shortened season. It could mean anything. But it's not a knock on his talent at all. He certainly has the look of a great downfield threat in a very good offense.
Yeah, Jordan Reed. One second. I have a cool red zone stat on him. Well, 7 targets in the red zone. He didn't have a lot of targets on the year. And he caught 45 of 59 targets, and that was only in 9 games. So mm-hmm. 7 targets in the red zone, 6 catches, 3 touchdowns. Pretty good efficiency there. And hopefully that would continue.
Second-year tight ends have a very good track record of producing. Mm-hmm. And I think between Reed and Ertz, those two guys are going to jockey for potential top 5.
Yeah, he would have been over 16 games if you took his 7.55 fantasy points per game. If you make it 16, number 7 tight end last year. Mm-hmm. That doesn't factor in injuries to other players, but if he had played 16.
And you also have to factor in a healthy RG3.
Hopefully will help. Okay, moving on then. These tight ends have much different values in PPR leagues, better or worse.
Gates.
Better?
Mm-hmm. Better. I think you can make a case for Heath Miller and Martellus Bennett, and certainly Delanie Walker.
All better.
All better.
Witten still?
Yeah, oh, actually, I take Witten over Pitta, where I have it reversed in standard leagues, and I bump up Cameron a little bit in PPR leagues too, because I think he's going to his catches will help in that format.
Witten did have his fewest yards and catches since 2006 last year. Did have his second most touchdowns of his career, but does that concern you at all?
No, because his catch total has been pretty consistent. You know, what is it, 65?
73 last year.
73 last year. I think that's he's been like 73 or more in like five of six or four of five, something like that.
Oh, no, I mean, those are his fewest catches since 06.
But I'm saying like he's been above those. Like
every year.
And I think that, you know, the touchdowns are what make or break him from being, you know, closer to the top three, because the rest of the metrics are pretty good. If he gets you six or seven touchdowns on top of what his normal numbers are, he's going to be right there again.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he'll be five or six. Jason Witten, top six tight end, four straight seasons. Top eight tight end, seven straight seasons.
He's just the unsexy guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the question is, he's been so durable. He's missed one game in his career. It was his rookie season, Jason Witten. But he's 32, going into his 12th season. Terrence Williams maybe takes a step up. Does that take away from Jason Witten, who only had 14 red zone targets last year? Not a lot for a guy who played 16 games.
Touchdowns have always been the issue for Witten in fantasy. And he's had a year here and there where he gets a lot of touchdowns, but he's also had some where he's almost had none.
Yeah, one or two.
Yeah, so it's going to be give or take. That's what makes him far more appealing in a PPR.
Okay.
Yeah, and Vernon Davis, by the way, would go down in a PPR.
We actually, our boss, Jeff Gertula, was in a draft this past weekend, and he said he was looking at Dennis Pitta, but he said he's been burned by guys like Pitta before, and he took Witten. And I think that's kind of how you should approach Jason Witten. If you're scared of Gronkowski and his average draft position, if you're worried about Pitta coming off the hip problem, if you're worried about Cameron now with the shoulder injury, and he's all the guy with concussion track record, you don't want Jordan Reed, you don't want to buy into it. Witten's the perfect guy to target.
Let's do an email. Email of the day number one is from Mike in Philadelphia. How does your tight end strategy change in a 10-team league?
You know, we got this question before. I don't know if you heard it or not, but Eddie Lacy or Jimmy Graham, 7th overall in a 10-team half-point PPR league.
Yeah.
In a 12-team, I would take Lacy. In a 10-team league, I would take Graham, because I think it's just that much of a difference maker. You can take him a little bit earlier.
And you can come back and get a running back later on. That's not Eddie Lacy, but you can get somebody good in round two.
You can make the argument to get Gronk earlier, too.
Well, I don't get this argument. Explain this to me.
I just think you could take a little bit more chances in a 10-team league.
Okay.
And so there's a little bit more depth at the running back. It's splitting hairs. And also the fact that it was a half-point PPR was the reason I was leaning toward Graham over Lacy in that format. Like, I think when I look at Lacy versus – and throw Calvin in there, too. If there's anything that would enhance the receivers – I bump them over late because I'm so close with those. I know you're locked in with Lacy at five in a standard league, which I totally understand. But like when it comes to Lacy, Calvin, Graham, I just feel like there's not a lot of wiggle room for me.
So I look at it in a 10-team league a little bit differently than quarterbacks, whereas like a quarterbacks in 10-team leagues are more likely to wait because I know I'm going to love the quarterback I take, even if I'm the last guy to take a starting quarterback. I don't feel the same way with tight ends. Jamie, you talked about there being 10 guys. What was the phrase you used? 10 guys that are must-starts.
I think they're 10 must-start tight ends, yes.
Yeah. However, they're not as good, you know, comparatively by position to the number 9 and 10 quarterbacks, right?
Right.
Like, there's more risk there with those tight ends.
Dave will probably have a better analogy for this because he's good at these things, or he makes valid attempts. The way you fall off a cliff at the quarterback spot is gradual, because after the top three, you know, like Dave has Stafford as, you know, in the elite category in his tiers. You know, I mean, I can't sit here and say how much I like Tony Romo and RG3 and the value Matt Ryan and Andrew Luck and Brady. I mean, they just go on and on about that. Once you hit Julius Thomas, it's just, you know, you're going straight down.
It's a big jump from tier one to tier two.
Okay. But email of the day number two.
I'll say that going from tier two to tier three isn't nearly as big of a jump.
Exactly.
Right. If you want a difference maker at tight end, it's easier to take one in a smaller league with 10 or fewer teams.
But, Adam, you've taken tight ends, I think, once or twice in one of our recent mocks, and you've hated the way your team has come out.
Tight ends early, in rounds one, two, or three.
Right. I think you took Graham in one of the mocks. You took Thomas?
Yeah, Thomas in round three in another.
And you haven't been happy with it.
That was a 10-team league. You know, the reason why I haven't been happy with it is because drafting with you people, the running backs go so early.
What do you mean by you people?
Drafting with CBSSports.com is the running backs go so early, whereas I feel like if I draft in leagues with, you know, non-CBSSports.com people, quarterbacks are going to go earlier, wide receiver. I think I'll get better value at running back, and therefore it won't hurt me as much if I take a tight end early. So I think it will end up being better.
Gotcha.
Email of the day number two is from Ryan in Peoria. Dear Alan, Peter, and Judy. I don't know. This is the last year I can keep Jimmy Graham. Are there any tight ends worth taking a late-round flyer on in a PPR league that would be a keeper next year? 10 teams, 3 keepers that can be kept for 3 years. This is the best podcast for 2 a.m. Wolfman Adams French cuff fashion advice. So we're looking at late-round PPR tight ends that could maybe more of like a dynasty league, keeper league type.
Well, I mean, the three rookies are interesting in varying degrees for me. I think Ebron would be somebody I'd look in this format.
Mm-hmm.
I would look at Jason Morrow, you know, who's said he wants to catch 100 passes. We'll see if he does that over a 3 or 4 year span. But, you know, he's somebody. And then Seferian Jenkins. You know, those three guys are going to probably be featured in their offenses a lot more next year than they are this year.
Is it too much to say Ladarius Green again?
I don't know. I think you can get him late in a PPR league.
Right.
By the way, Alan, Peter, and Judy are from Jumanji. So, favorite Robin Williams movie?
Favorite Robin Williams movie because of Robin Williams is Good Morning Vietnam. But it's not my favorite movie that has Robin Williams in it.
And that is?
Birdcage.
Very good one.
Yeah.
And you?
Yeah, Good Morning Vietnam for me.
Mrs. Doubtfire for me. ADP review.
Of course, the one that has an au pair. Memories of Adam's childhood.
Actually, I take that back.
Brought to the screen.
He did a movie with my cousin.
What was it?
Bicentennial Man.
Oh,
my cousin Hallie. Jesse Sisson.
Oh. Sorry, I only do
yes.
Jesse Eisenberg.
When my wife heard the news, she said, did you call Hallie and see if she's okay? I said, I'm sure she's okay. But they were very close. He was very kind to her.
Oh, really?
I mean, she was 5 or 6 years old at the time.
My cousin hasn't done any movies with Robin Williams.
My best friend is a Hollywood writer and has met Robin Williams
yeah.
and absolutely loved it. It was, I think, maybe his best, his favorite encounter with anyone in the industry. He said he was awesome.
Yeah, they actually they were on Oprah together. And, I mean, she couldn't say enough good things about him.
Okay, moving on to ADP review. Jimmy Graham. I'm sorry if that sounded so harsh at the end of the Robin Williams discussion. Not my intention at all.
What do you
mean?
Move
on. I don't know. It just seemed like I was like, we're done with that. Sorry if that came off in a negative light. Jimmy Graham going 10th. Gronkowski going 29th. That's obviously going to keep going up if he stays healthy. And where would you take Rob Gronkowski right now? Standard and PPR?
Round 2.
Late round 2, but round 2.
Okay, but where? Like, who would you take him? What group of running back? What group of wide receiver? Would you take him around before or after?
I go back and forth between Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski. And maybe in a PPR league, I'd lean toward Brown just because I think he's going to get a lot of catches and make up for it. You can't deny Gronk's upside and the chance that you will get a tight end who's giving you 10 fantasy points per week in round 2. That's pretty good. That's why you draft Jimmy Graham, so you can get those 10 points plus per week.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's more like 12 or 13 points per week.
Yeah, could be.
Well, but Jordy Nelson, Dave. Would you take Jordy Nelson or Rob Gronkowski?
I think I'd rather have Jordy.
Because Nelson's a third-round pick.
That's good for him.
Well, he's 25.
Is he?
His ADP is 25.
Yeah.
Well, he's going in the, like...
I value Gronk those like, top seven receivers.
Gronk is like 30.
Yeah.
So the one thing I would be a little bit afraid of with Gronk is taking a receiver in round 1 and then Gronk in round 2. I'd probably want to do running back Gronk.
Or quarterback Gronk. Some people are still taking
quarterbacks. Not doing that. Not
right, not doing that. You're saying you would do wide receiver Gronk?
No, I'm saying I'd be a little bit leery of it.
Yeah.
Why?
I just think that you're putting yourself in a situation where you're losing out on one of those top 12 caliber running backs.
All right, Doug Martin or Rob Gronkowski?
Gronk.
Yeah, me too.
But that's you're taking Martin toward the tail end of the second round, so you would have probably had a running back in that spot.
All right, let's say you took.
It'd be interesting that when you're talking about Thomas in round 1, you know, obviously you wouldn't go Graham and Gronk, but. If it is a heavy wide receiver draft? Because look, there are other analysts, other sites are pushing taking wide receivers above running backs. Did you do a podcast last night with those guys?
No.
Okay, I did a podcast with I don't want to say the wrong thing, so I apologize for not mentioning their site. I got posed the question after the top five running backs, would you take any other running back in the first round? Like, they're pushing Calvin, Graham, Dez, and I don't want to speak for them, but that's the gist that I took away from it. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen that before. You know, like, why would you invest in any of those other running backs when there's so much uncertainty in Monte Ball and DeMarco Murray's injury history and those guys? And why not take the certainty of Dez and Demaryius and, you know, those guys? So if you're doing that, if you're going that route, you know, I don't know if you want to pair Gronk with one of those guys.
And that's why I feel like if I take a tight end early in a draft that's not with you people, I will get a better running back because I know a lot of people don't believe in taking running backs early.
Right.
So later on in the ADP, Julius Thomas is going 32nd overall, so middle to late round three. I think we've pretty much established we're cool with those guys. Just wanted to ask you really quickly, Julius Thomas ended the year on a pretty low note. Do you have any concerns about the way he finished last six games, including the postseason? 4 points, 13 points, 3 points, 5 points, which included a fumble, 8 points, and I think 2 points against Seattle.
Didn't he have an injury of some sort?
I don't know.
Toward like week 12, 13?
No, I think you're right. He missed the game.
After he missed that game, he only had one game in the regular season with 10 or more fantasy points. I'm not sure what his playoffs look like.
Yeah, they weren't good.
Yeah. You just said so.
I think he'll let you down a little bit, but I think he also has the chance to be head and shoulders above the next tier. But I don't think he gets to Gronk or Graham if they both play 16 games.
All right.
But then. I also think he's better than Davis, Witten, Cameron, Pitta.
Fourth, Vernon Davis, 50th overall. And we want to see that.
That's early round five.
We want to see that a little bit later.
League. Yep.
Jason Witten, 62nd. You know, he's basically based on ADP.
Early round six.
In about a tier of his own. Because then you have to wait 7 more picks for Jordan Cameron. Then 10 more picks for Dennis Pitta. So it goes Witten, 62nd. Cameron, 69th. Pitta, 78th. Now, you guys are pretty split on Jordan Cameron, so discuss.
I'm surprised he's low, because this is low. It must be because of the injury has knocked him down a little bit.
I think people might be a little bit too high on him. Do you think he's going to be a lot better the next year than last year?
I think his numbers could exceed what he did last year. I think the targets are going to be there, crazy targets, better quarterback play, an offense that has seen tight ends fare well in it, and he's all they have. And it might be a problem when they're outside of the red zone, but I think they can scheme him up and use him well when they're near the goal line, and he can come down with some touchdowns this year.
It is interesting, though, because you're usually let's play the defensive coordinator game. Say
and
you're defensive coordinator out, yeah, sure. against this game.
And who am I going to take out first? It'll be Jordan Cameron, but...
And that's what Lachlan Fora told us, is that he's going to see consistently a guy on him and a guy over the top, and they're going to
You don't
make...
think he saw that before?
Not with Josh Gordon on the field.
Not once Gordon was really moving around and doing well.
Well, that's when his numbers tailed off. He was very good early in the season. Mm-hmm. Gordon picked up his play, and Cameron's numbers were horrible at the end of the year.
I don't know. Look, if he's a good player, he'll put up his numbers. Vernon Davis, I'm sure, before Michael Crabtree came back, had a heck of a lot of attention, right? If you were a defensive coordinator, isn't that who you would have tried to stop?
Sure, but his numbers were better when Crabtree was out.
They were still pretty good when he was there.
Yeah,
they were pretty good.
But that would be your case for Jordan Cameron.
Of course.
I think Jordan Cameron's a top 10 tight end. I just think he's closer to the back end of that than the middle of it. That's just the way I view him.
Seven touchdowns last year, 6 in the first 7 games.
Right. He was, and this is another guy that's injury prone. I mean, you know, you go back to before the breakout season a year ago, he had the concussion problems.
He's already dealing with something
and
now.
He's dealing with something now.
Can't deny it.
And, he's made no secret about his contract situation coming up after the whole Jimmy Graham thing. You know, when he changed his Twitter handle. So it's on his mind.
What did it change his handle to?
When the Graham situation was unsettled about is he a receiver or is he a tight end, he changed it from Pro Bowl tight end from the Browns to Pro Bowl pass catcher,
that's uh-huh. right. Yeah.
So I think Jordan Cameron's a good player. I just don't like his ADP. I look at where – like right now it's starting to settle into a spot where I'm okay with it. But I would rather pass on him, take Pitta, take Olsen, take Reed and take Ertz.
Dave, I want to clarify something I said about Julius Thomas. His playoff performance was not that bad. It was 76 yards for seven. Actually, that was the game he had 5 fantasy points because he fumbled. Then he had 8 fantasy points on 85 yards, and then he had 27 against Seattle. Hmm. So I just wanted to clarify that. All right, Jordan Cam, I think the question is...
Wait, he had 27 fantasy points against Seattle?
27 yards.
Oh, okay.
did they play bad against Seattle?
They didn't play very well.
No?
Oh. The question is, like, you know, the top three are off the board. Do you go for the next group, Olsen or Davis, Witten, Cameron Pitta, or do you wait for the Olsen, Reed, Rudolph, Ertz group? You know?
Yeah, I'm waiting.
You like the Olsen, Reed,
unless
Rudolph,
I can get Ertz? Jordan Cameron. His ADP now is like round 6.
69th, so yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I might look at him in round 6, but I think the only way I would take him there is if I didn't like anybody else at running back, at wide receiver, at quarterback, or I thought I could wait at quarterback. And he's just the best guy available, which has happened to me in at least one draft we've done.
Dave, are you feeling the Dennis Pitta love the way Jamie is?
I don't feel it as – it's not as intense with me as it is with Jamie. You know what I mean? Like the Pitta-Eisenberg connection,
yeah.
It's just like fiery hot love. Mm-hmm. And with me, the Richard Pitta connection, it's – I mean, we're seeing each other. It's nice.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, you know, I think that the targets will be there, but I think there's a lot of mouths to feed in that offense.
How often do you guys talk on the phone?
Oh, a couple times a week. We do a lot of texting.
Yeah. Hopefully not when you're driving.
Right. No, never. Never when I'm driving.
Good.
We sex.
But meanwhile, Zach Ertz and I are on like a, we know each other's middle names and our birthdays.
Have you met his family yet?
No, that's the next big step.
Oh, that's huge. You'll have to let us
know. I'm feeling a little awkward right now, Adam. Can we transition out of this somehow?
We sure can.
Thank you.
We sure can. Next group, Greg Olsen, 86th. Jordan Reed, 86th. Kyle Rudolph, 96th. Zach Ertz, 106. So these are the running backs that end with a 6 in their ADP.
Or tight ends.
I said running backs. I apologize. I'm not on a close relationship with any of these guys. That's why I call him running backs.
Not Olsen?
No, there's the thing. First of all, Olsen was part of the seventh floor crew in college. A little dirty for me, if anybody knows that reference.
I do. Of course I do.
Why is Olsen going to be any different than what he's been, which is just like kind of steady Eddie, not exciting, no breakout potential?
He's a poor man's Jason Witten. You know what you're getting.
And I don't like that.
Well, it's, you know.
Not when you've got upside guys being drafted around him.
I agree. But, you know, you pencil him in there and you just say, okay, I'll take my 6 to 7 points on average with the chance to get, you know, 10 to 12 every 3 or 4 weeks. But I think, you know, if you're buying into Olsen, you're buying into Cam's receiving corps being bad.
He finished as the number 8 tight end last year, 1 point behind Charles Clay.
Yeah.
But a significant amount of points, 16 fantasy points behind Jordan Cameron, who was number 6. So there was a bit of a gap there.
I could see Olsen getting a bit of a bump this year because the rest of that receiving core, once you get past Kelvin Benjamin and his 150 targets / 75 catches that I went overboard with on today's FFT, once you get past Benjamin, I think Olsen's going to get just a slew of targets. Maybe he's the one that ends up with...
Oh, he's going to lead them in targets.
I don't know about 150 targets, but 120?
I do like maybe. That he tied for 4th in red zone targets last year with 18. He caught 9 balls for 6 touchdowns
and
in
hey,
the red zone.
And, the more attention paid to Benjamin, the less we can worry about Olsen being double and triple covered.
And, you know, as Cam gets better, his play-action game will get better. This is a very run-centric team. So Olsen will have the opportunity to make some plays over the middle of the field where he's not guarded at all. I think there's it just comes down to what your trust factor is.
Right. So
do you want to buy into Kyle Rudolph, who's been touchdown dependent but nothing else? Do you want to buy into Jordan Reed's injury history? Do you want to buy into Zach Ertz, another team with a lot of mouths to feed? You know, so
what do you do? What's your preference?
I think, you know, I'm trying to think how I have it ranked exactly, but Olsen is just safe. You know, like in our auction, I spent $3 on Olsen with Cameron still there, and then, you know, came back around a couple times, and then I bid on Cameron too, and I ended up with both of them.
Here's how you have it ranked. In standard leagues, you have it Reed 7, Olsen 8, Rudolph 9. In PPR leagues, you have Olsen 7, Reed 8, Cameron 9, Rudolph 10. So it does depend on the format for you. But Rudolph is firmly in the back of that group. So, yeah, Rudolph gets Norv Turner. He's done good things for tight ends. Josh Gordon, or Jordan Cameron being the latest example. Does he get a boost, Kyle Rudolph?
I was watching their preseason game, and they were moving Rudolph all around. And this dude's like 6'6". He's Gronk-sized. And it was kind of awesome seeing how they were using him. So I think there's good potential here, too. I wouldn't mind having Rudolph as my tight end at the end of a fantasy draft.
You know what I found amazing?
If I'm in a draft with me and Ertz gets taken in front of me, maybe Rudolph is the fallback plan.
Only 4 red zone targets last year. No touchdowns. He played in 8 games, scored 3 touchdowns. They all came from 20 yards or longer. Now,
that's interesting.
Might be splitting hairs because one of them was 20 yards, which should count as a red zone catch. So maybe it was like between 20 and 21.
Wasn't inside the red zone.
Well, if it comes from 20 yards out, doesn't that mean it's a red zone catch?
Yeah, isn't it right on the line? Like 19 or in is red zone?
I thought 20.
20 or in is a red zone.
Okay. Then it should be. It should be.
Still, 20 yards was his shortest touchdown reception last year. You got to figure they'll get him more involved in the red zone. Maybe they just never went to the red zone. I don't remember.
Well, they had that Peterson guy.
Yeah, right.
That's true. They must have. We move down now. We're approaching the end of the top 12 in ADP. After Kyle Rudolph, Zach Ertz, Eric Ebron, Martellus Bennett, Ladarius Green, Antonio Gates, Heath Miller, Charles Clay. Now, I was really excited about Eric Ebron. I feel like if they spent a first-round pick, 11th overall, I think, on Ebron, they have plans for him. You look at all these elite tight ends, they're all in great passing offenses, and he could be the next one. Never mind. I was going to say something that's not true. But I don't think that one quarter of one preseason game is enough to really deter me at this point. So what else is it about Eric Ebron that you guys aren't liking right now?
It's all of training camp, too. It's not like he's shined in training camp for the Lions.
So Jamie Evans 13th, Dave 13th.
Yeah,
well.
And so there's a transition that he's got to make. And he was a much better pass catcher than he was a blocker. If they're using him as a pure receiver, which they should do.
They are.
Yeah.
That's why Pettigrew's still there.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see him being as dominant as you kind of made him out to be, Adam, in his first year. I think he can do it eventually.
No, I'm
maybe toward the end of this season.
As dominant as he – I'm just saying in college he was absolutely dominant.
I agree.
Here's the thing you have to like if you're an Eric Ebron supporter is that last year Joseph Fourier – that was great. Yeah. You know, in the red zone. And Jim Caldwell was the offensive coordinator when Dennis Pitta took off in Baltimore. So there's a couple of things going for Ebron. He's not going to see any sort of additional coverage, especially after the way he's playing right now when you have Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate and those running backs. So I think there's an opportunity, especially if teams continue to play Calvin at the red zone inside the 10 like they do, you know, where there's two guys focused on him, which no other receiver sees that consistently like he does. So I think Ebron's going to have a slow start, as we're seeing. He's going to struggle early in the year. But there's going to be a stretch where he probably looks like a very good player. So I don't have a problem if somebody wants to take him over the Miller, Bennett, Green, Gates group. I'm fine with that.
Does this have to be a backup for you?
Ebron?
Yeah.
I probably would never take 2 tight ends, especially if I get the guys that I want. But like in our 10-team draft that we did last week, I took Ladarius Green.
As a backup?
As just a late-round flyer. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're – and that was a 15-round draft. So I think anything over 14 rounds, it's not a bad idea to take players that you like. And if you like Eric Ebron, then you take him.
So some deeper league targets, late-round picks, Clay, Walker, Heath Miller – and then even deeper, Dwayne Allen, Eifert, Cook, Graham, Jason Morrow, Travis Kelce. Like anybody that's just for the deep leaguers out there that we should talk about?
How about Brandon Bostic in Green Bay? Looks like he's going to be their guy to start the season as their top tight end. You mentioned Travis Kelce. They like another tight end there named Demetrius Williams. That's for the dynasty leaguers.
Okay.
Demetrius Harris. Did I say Williams?
Yeah.
I think it's Demetrius Harris.
And Charles Clay is just kind of whatever?
Well, there's potential there. Because you think about how he's such a movable chess piece, and then you combine that with what you know about the Philadelphia offense moving to Miami, the blueprint of it moving to Miami.
Snowbirds, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's call it the Snowbird offense.
Okay, I guess.
I like it.
Are Snowbirds from Philadelphia?
They're from anywhere up north. They're from Ontario.
The Eagles' offense has migrated to South Florida.
I thought you were going to say landed. The Eagles landed. That would have...
I don't know what
the hell we're doing with this. The Snowbirds. Go ahead.
I
it's happening. Accept it.
Clay could end up playing a lot and getting more targets than he did last year. I'm warming up to him.
The thing I look at with Clay, though, is, and I don't know this off the top of my head, but I wonder what his numbers were before Brandon Gibson got hurt.
Do you remember when Gibson got hurt? It was pretty early
like week
on.
Week 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I can find out.
I got it.
Okay. You look up Clay.
He had 3 good games in his first 5. Okay, and then so, two good games in his.
So then
last,
he was good when Gibson was there. I just worry Gibson about
got week 8.
Huh?
Week 8.
Right. Well, Clay got off to a hot start, and then defenses probably paid more attention to him, and that's why his numbers weren't so good.
Last thing before we read some tweets here. Jason Lockenforce said the Bengals tight ends were a little beat up last year. We didn't know about it. Could Tyler Eifert have a breakout year?
The Jones injury really helps him.
Yeah.
Because now they move Sanu outside, and then Eifert presumably will handle the middle of the field.
Potentially. And Gresham's still not 100%.
Here are some emails and tweets. A-Rod 2, what are the chances Jordan Reed finishes top 5?
I wouldn't be shocked.
He's got to stay healthy. If he can stay healthy, then he might be able to get in there at 4 or 5, sure.
Brandon Ulrich, all right, I stole your question, buddy. Will Tyler Eifert go off now that Marvin Jones is out for the first part of the season?
I hope he does. Play I love better. Him so much. He needs just more targets.
I wouldn't say go off, but I would say play much better.
Kevin Ingram, best upside, Kyle Rudolph or Zach Ertz?
I mean, Ertz will go the farthest if, you know, you're talking upside, strictly based on that word.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Brett Schiller, I'm looking to wait on tight end in a PPR league. What is the lowest tier you would wait to draft for a quality tight end starter in a PPR league?
I like that second, third tier even more in a PPR league. So the third tier would probably be the lowest.
Which is what, like the Rudolph tier?
Probably.
I'd wait for Heath Miller if I wanted to really, really wait.
Okay.
Yeah, my third tier is Ertz, Rudolph, and Reed. And keep in mind that I'm low on Reed.
Okay. Alex Wright, if I draft Gronk, when should I draft a handcuff? How early should it be?
You don't have to.
Yeah, there's just guys that will, again, 14-round draft, there's going to be guys that are out there.
Corey, could Greg Olsen be a potential top 3 tight end?
I don't see that. A lot of tight ends are going to have to get hurt.
Anybody could.
Texas Bruins could 67.
I? You don't play in the NFL, so no.
Could
Are you saying that no one would sign me?
Could Travis Kelce, top 3 tight end?
Could be.
No, you can't.
Why not?
How about Matt Spaeth?
Could be.
50-1.
You're like the Mickey Mouse of
50-1, $1 bet, Travis Kelce.
Top 3?
Yeah.
Sure.
Standard scoring.
Sure.
For minimum bet, sure. $10.
You just said a dollar.
Dollar bet, 50-1.
I'll take it.
Texas Bruins 67. Is it okay to draft a second tight end in leagues with a wide receiver, tight end, running back, flex? So, normal leagues. Nah, we don't advise it.
I got to say goodbye, so nanu nanu.
Very good.
Nice. Jamie has to go do a radio interview.
I think it's okay if one of the tight ends from the top 2 tiers falls into your lap.
I'm so glad he's gone.
Who?
Jamie.
Why?
Because he was still in the room when I saw him. Oh, okay. Chase Fleetwood, better value, Rob Gronkowski or Dennis Pitta? So that would be Gronk in the 3rd or Pitta in like the 5th or 6th?
6th. I'll take Gronk.
Was it the 6th for Pitta? Yeah.
Grob Gronkowski.
No. Pitta is going even later than that. 7th round.
I stand by my Gob Gronkowski.
Gob Gronkowski. Dave, that's it. That was a quick preview. So what are we doing for that final podcast league spot?
This is cool. And this is something where you don't have to watch fantasy football today, although we encourage everyone to watch fantasy football today. And people didn't know that you could watch fantasy football today on our CBSSports.com fantasy app, which is free. So let's just say you have a mobile device. Mm-hmm. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but if you do, mm-hmm. you can download it. Download that fantasy app. It keeps track of all your leagues on CBSSports.com, and it gets you into all of our content, including our video, all for free freebies. It's all free. Nice.
Just now, like the fantasy draft party.
Let's talk about, fantasy draft party in Boston, August 23rd.
CBSSports.com/fantasy party. Check it out.
If you're in the Northeast and you're not a snowbird, you should go and say hi.
Now, how do you get in the podcast league? We got one spot left.
We have one spot left, and we're going to do kind of a quasi trivia-ish deal. You know how we get emails all the time where it's, dear, what do we have today for Jumanji? Al, Peter, and Judy, right? So you guys have been doing that, and it's great. We're going to give you guys one. And the first person to email us at...
FantasyFootball@CBSI.com, the letter I. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com.
With the correct answer to what this dear blank, blank, blank means is in the podcast league, and the podcast league is closed after that.
Yeah.
Dear Chad, Brian, and Randy. There's a meaning there.
Yeah.
It's not three guys with an A in their name.
That was quick
might,
thinking.
Might not even be three guys.
Dear Chad, Brian, and Randy.
And maybe that was a hint, or maybe not. Point is, you guys can take stabs at what that means, and the first person to get it right is in the podcast league. Thank you.
Dave, let's go to a PPR mock draft.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
We'll talk about it tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today. No more position previews. Let's have some fun. Next week, we're going to do a draft, mock draft on the air with listeners. All right. We'll see you later, everybody. Have a great Tuesday. Talk to you Wednesday.
Jamie always says bye right now. Bye.